Lord God, please speak to us this morning. Teach each of us what you want us to know about you and about who we are. And help us then to live in this truth for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We started last week in our journey through Genesis, seeing in this creation account how God, our Creator, not only made all things, but made them function, made them work. How he ordered all things by his word. How he alone is the creator. He has no rivals. He has no competitors. He is creator alone, and therefore he is worthy of all honor and worship alone, for he has made it all. We spoke too about how this creation account was written for us, but not to us. That is, how important it is that we must unpack and understand what is said and remember that it's written to the ancient Israelite people and so uses their understandings and frameworks, not our understandings and frameworks, as it unpacks the truth of God as creator. If you missed last week's intro sermon, there was a lot of sort of foundational ideas in it. So can I encourage you to check it out on our website? You can catch up on what you've missed for these big foundational ideas as we launch into our Genesis series. In last week's reading, where we covered the whole creation account, chapter 1 up to chapter 2, verse 3, we heard also these repeated patterns in the account. Each day we were told, God said, and then he said something like, let there be light or a vault or land, etc. And then we were told the outcome, and there was light, a vault and land. And then a proclamation, and he saw that it was good. A naming, he named it day and night, or he named it sky and land or sea, etc., etc. And then that final repeated phrase, there was evening and there was morning, the first, second, and so on, day. Now, one of the things that these repeated patterns does is highlight when there's something different, something that doesn't follow the expected pattern. Obviously, back in those days, there wasn't any bold print or highlighter to be able to use. And so to draw attention to something or that was written or spoken, you deviated from the expected pattern to kind of wake you up. Oh, that's different. Help me tune in to this unexpected part. And day 6, therefore, is one of these highlighted type days. So to illustrate what I mean, day 6, if it had followed the pattern that had been set up with all the previous days, should have sounded something like this. Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, and the people according to their kinds. And it was so. God made all the living creatures according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. But actually, day 6 doesn't sound much like that at all, does it? It's longer, it's more detailed, and it's got that personal declaration and emphasis from God given specially to humanity. Blessed, indeed, like the creatures of day 5 were, but humanity also commissioned, given a special job in God's created order. And the outcome of this final creative act of God proclaimed not just as good, but very good. And hence, the highlighting, the drawing attention to something special that is going on here in this day, in this creative act. Now, the same is true, of course, of day 7, and we'll spend some time next week unpacking that. We won't take 3 weeks normally to get through a chapter. It's just that this is the foundational stuff, so you've got to do this stuff right to lay the groundwork. But for today, focusing on day 6 and particularly on the creation of humanity, let's unpack in a little bit more detail what's going on here in the creation account. So verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Only this creative act is preceded by this divine deliberation, if you like, this personal declaration of God, let us make, rather than that more impersonal, let there be. Only humanity is created in the image of God, which we'll unpack more in a moment. And the emphasis is given that this is all of humanity, all made in God's image. Not, for example, that men were made in God's image and women were made in the image of men. No, we're told specifically, in the image of God, he created the male and female, he created them. Emphasis, both genders are equally image bearers of God. And he blesses them in verse 28. But also he does more than that. Gives them the task not simply to be fruitful and increase in number like all the other creatures, but also to fill the earth and subdue it, to rule over the other creatures and the earth that God had made. Humanity alone commissioned to rule the earth under God. And humanity, the final act of God's creation, it's the pinnacle, the high point of his creative work. And so, at the end of this creating, God looks over everything that he has made and he declares it very good. Absolutely as God intended it to be. Now fully fit and fully functioning. Now with his special image bearers in place, ruling under him. These differences of day six are there to make us stop and ponder. To stop and take note of the specialness and the significance of what has happened on this day. Most particularly the special place and significance in God's sovereign plan of us, of humanity. Those alone in all creation made in his image. So what does it mean, this idea to be made in the image of God? Now, much ink has been spilt over this over the centuries, so please don't expect me to be able to cover it all for you here now. We're not going to be here till next week. But as we ponder the special dignity of being made uniquely in God's likeness, of in some special way representing him here on this earth, I'm going to process it through two of the things we most especially see here in this passage. Our special commissioning to rule under God, and our special commissioning to relate with God. So humanity is given the authority to rule over God's creation, to subdue the earth. And it's unique of all God's creatures, humanity alone given this special honour and dignity. God remains the ultimate ruler, the eternal king. Nothing displaces him. But we are his designated vice regents, if you like, his representatives, his ambassadors on the earth. And this is something of what it means to be made in his likeness, in his image. But we must understand rightly what this rule is to look like. And the picture we're given here is not one of exploitation, but partnership. That is, he commissions humanity especially to steward and care for his creation. He calls us to partner with him in preserving and caring for the world, calling us to participate in and contribute towards the earth's flourishing. It's a purposeful stewardship over God's creation, not merely to use our high position in the earth to dominate and to exploit for our own benefit. No, we're not simply to seek power and plenty for ourselves, but rather to plan and ponder how we might use the resources of this world for the good of all people and indeed for the good of creation itself. Indeed, folks, as Christians, as those who know the true King, we ought to be on the front line of these things, of caring for this world, of creation care, of responsible stewardship of the earth's resources. We who know the one who made it all and to whom it all still belongs, and we who know that he has specially commissioned us to partner with him in bringing about the world's flourishing. Of all the creatures God has made, humanity is called into this special privilege and given this special responsibility to rule over God's creation. That's a part of our being made in his image. But as we now wrestle with the reality of sin and the groaning that we see in creation as a result, we Christians must seek especially to exercise our rule in this world, always remembering that it remains his creation, not ours, to exploit. We Christians, made in the image of God and in right relationship with him through Christ, are therefore to act as his hands and feet. We Christians should be on the front foot in creation care, on the front line in calling out exploitation or greed, in seeking to use and protect this world's resources in a way that is pleasing to the one to whom it all belongs. All humanity is given this special honour as image bearers of our makers, but of our maker. But we Christians most especially are in the position to use this rule to bring glory and pleasure to Christ, the King of it all. That's one way we're called to shine for God as we live as his image bearers in this world. Well, our second special dignity, created in the image of God, means that we're called into relationship, particularly in this moment, to relationship with God himself. Of God's created order, only humanity is given that special capacity to relate to God and to others, given that awareness of self and others, a rationality and personhood and morality that allows us to relate in a way that other creatures can't. It's part of our very makeup as image bearers of the God who is in perfect relationship, the one God in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all people have this, regardless of language or culture or gender, status or education or ability. All people, without exception, made in the image of God and thus made to be in relationship with him. We, of all creation, are invited to personal relationship with God, to enjoy him and worship him in a special way because we are his image bearers. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Psalm 8 says, human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. All creation is made by God and brings him glory. Yet we humans are specially invited to worship and to enjoy him, our maker, in personal one-to-one relationship. Invited to share our life with him, to know him and be known by him, not just as subjects or servants, but as his precious image bearers. Called into community as he also is in perfect community. Indeed, this special communion that our Creator calls us into is a key part of what we remember each week as we celebrate the Holy Communion. Remembering that because of the sacrifice of God's own Son for us, we can indeed have this fellowship with God. We are indeed his precious sons and daughters now and for all eternity. Being made in the image of God is not about doing anything, but rather the unique relationship and dignity that God has gifted, has given to us, that we can know him as Father, that we can know Jesus as brother, that we have the very Spirit of God living in us in personal communion. Now, the implications of that are significant, especially as we consider the shadow of sin that we do now live with. only Jesus, untainted by sin and Son of God as he is the true and full image of the invisible God. Yet though we each do live with the stain of sin, nevertheless, we remain God's image bearers, all of us. As God's people, we must remember this truth as we relate with others in the world. That is, we must remember that all people are made in his image, not just the ones that we like, not just the ones that we find it easy to love, but also those we struggle to like and those that we disagree with. All bear God's image. All are precious to him. Therefore, we are to treat all people with utmost respect and care without exception. And not just the able or the good or the independent, no. All people, regardless of ability or occupation or background or criminal status or age or stage, no, all are to be treated with utmost dignity. For each one, broken as we all are image bearers of God. And each one, therefore, invited into that same fellowship and communion with him by the blood of Christ. There's no exceptions. No one is too far gone. No one is beyond redemption, and no one is to be dismissed or ignored or devalued by us. And I want to just say this to you as well. It means also, as you look in the mirror, as you look in the mirror, remember your worth, uniquely made, each one of us bearing God's precious fingerprints, his image. Therefore, regardless of your feelings, you are truly priceless. Folks, what a wonder it is that God has made humanity in his image. To rule under him over all that he has made, and to relate with him in unique bonds of love and fellowship. Yes, what God has made is very good. And though we do now live with the shadow of sin, let us still marvel. Let us wonder afresh at what God has done. Let us look to him and at one another with thanksgiving and awe that he has made us so fearfully and so wonderfully. And as people who are living for Jesus, let us be active in seeking relationship with him, in seeking to care for his world and each other, and in exercising our freedoms in ways that seek to bless and bring flourishing to this creation that remains God's and is deeply loved by him. Amen.